Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Radha Thakurani is the embodiment of Mahabhava. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Lord Krishna. Purport. The unadulterated action of the Ladini Shakti is displayed in the dealings of the damsels of Raja and Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost participant in that transcendental group. The essence of the Ladini Shakti is love of Godhead. The essence of love of Godhead is bhava, or transcendental sentiment, and the highest pitch of that bhava is called Mahabhava. Srimati Radharani is a personified embodiment of these three aspects of transcendental consciousness. She is therefore the highest principle in love of Godhead and is the supreme lovable object of Sri Krishna. So there's a statement in the Skanda Purana whereby out of all the millions and billions of gopis serving Krishna, 16,000 are the most prominent. And out of those 16,000 most prominent gopis, there are 108 gopis that are the most prominent. And out of those 108 gopis that are the most prominent, there are 8 gopis that are the most prominent. And out of those 8 most prominent gopis, 2 are the most prominent. Can anyone guess who these two personalities might be? Chandravali and Srimati Radharani. And out of those two most of all prominent gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most prominent. So, how did Srila Prabhupada present Srimati Radharani? And this is very important because we have to, of course, understand from the very beginning that Srimati Radharani is not an ordinary girl. Neither is Krishna an ordinary boy. We have limited experience of boys and girls. Our experience is on this material plane, because we all have material bodies. But of course, we can understand that there's another much higher plane. There's this earth, this planet Earth, which is a very insignificant place. There are 14 planetary systems in every universe, and there are countless of billions and trillions of universes. And they're all producing so many different life forms through the agency of Lord Brahma. But far beyond this material plane, there's a spiritual plane. And I just like to read something that was written by Satsvarup Maharaj, the authority as far as Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita is concerned. Of course, he compiled that many years ago now. So he states, knowledge about Srimati Radharani, her relationship with Krishna, her relationships with her sakis and gopi manjaris, is expanded throughout the confidential literatures of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. In recent years, these books are becoming more accessible to English-speaking readers. We are becoming more aware, at least theoretically, that devotion to Srimati Radharani is the topmost expression of Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one of his songs, Srimati Radhika is the teacher of the mellow of conjugal love. The pure love between Radha and Madhava is meant to be discussed and contemplated. But there are many warnings that one should never mistake Srimati Radharani and her affairs with Krishna to be material dealings of man and woman. There is a danger in being curious about Srimati Radharani, but not hearing in the proper way. So Satsvarup Maharaj wanted to therefore impart Prabhupada's presentation of Srimati Radharani and confining himself to whatever he has found in his books and lectures and talks. You will find that although Srila Prabhupada was on the one hand very reserved in speaking about Srimati Radharani, he nevertheless imparted to us all a sweet and pure understanding of Srimati Radharani and the practical means to enhance ourselves in her service. In his translations and purports to relevant sections of Nectar of Devotion, the Krishna book, and the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada deals in all the intricacies of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. Satsvara Maharaj has gone through these many sections, especially looking for statements where Prabhupada is speaking personally his own realization in his own words. Prabhupada's first explanation of Radharani is an unforgettable sutra. Prabhupada said that Srimati Radharani is the best devotee of Krishna because she loves him the most. Prabhupada then explained that Srimati Radharani was interested in the welfare of all devotees and that we could pray to her. He said, you can't go directly to Krishna, but if Krishna's devotee is pleased with you, then he or she will recommend you to Krishna, and Krishna will be obliged to give you his mercy. This is especially true if you get the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And I feel very blessed that I was present when Srila Prabhupada installed the first large Radha Krishna deities in London. This was in December 1969. Sri Sri Radha Londoneshwara Ki Jai. So Prabhupada explained that Radharani is, she has her right hand like this. In her left hand she's holding a lotus and her lotus flower, and in her right hand she's showing the palm of her hand. So he explained that this showing the palm of the hand is a blessing, that if the devotee is very sincere and wants to approach Krishna, then through the blessing of Srimati Radharani, we can't approach Krishna directly. We have to go through Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada put knowledge of Radharani in the very first books that he translated in America, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, 1967, Krishna Book, 1968, The Nectar of Devotion in 1969. In the Nectar of Devotion, under the category of attracting Krishna, the characteristics of pure devotional service, Prabhupada explained the principle of approaching Krishna through Radha. To perform devotional service means to follow in the footsteps of Srimati Radharani, and the devotees of Vrindavan put themselves under the care of Radharani in order to achieve perfection in their devotional service. In other words, devotional service is not an activity of the material world. It is directly under the control of Radharani. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the Mahatmas, or great souls, are under the protection of Daivi Prakriti, the internal energy, Radharani. So being directly under the control of the internal potency of Krishna, devotional service attracts even Krishna himself. This is from Nectar of Devotion, page 16. Prabhupada's remark that Krishna was hard and Radharani was soft and kind is corroborated by a statement he made in the Nectar of Devotion under Krishna's quality of compassionate. Instead of offering obeisances to Krishna, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Srimati Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. Nectar of Devotion, page 176. Prabhupada sometimes described Radharani as Krishna's tender-hearted female counterpart. So that's a very nice thing to try to remember, that Radharani is Krishna's tender-hearted female counterpart. And for praying to Radharani, the essential way is to address her in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is made up of names of Radha and Krishna. O energy of the Lord Hara, O Lord, please engage me in your service. Prabhupada did not broadcast especially the glories of Radharani as much as he did those of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yet, he does inform us that according to Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, Srimati Radharani is the Queen of Vrindavan. She has the power to attract even Krishna, as stated by Prabhupada in an act of devotion. Krishna attracts everyone, but devotional service attracts Krishna. The symbol of devotional service in the highest degree is Radharani. Krishna is called Madana Mohana, which means he is so attractive that he can defeat the attraction of thousands of cupids. But Radharani is still more attractive, for she can attract Krishna. Therefore, devotees call her Madana Mohana Mohini, the attractor of the attractor of Cupid. An act of devotion, page 16. Why then was Srila Prabhupada so reserved and grave in speaking about Radharani? One reason Prabhupada was reserved was that we were such neophytes. Also, Prabhupada was preaching in the West, and it is the nature of materialistic persons outside of Vedic culture to take Radha Krishna affairs as ordinary sex affairs. Prabhupada explained this with the example of the cow who experienced fire in the barn. Once there was a fire in a barn, and a cow became so frightened that thereafter, whenever she saw the color red, she panicked in fear. In a similar way, conditioned souls are so traumatized or addicted to sex pleasure that as soon as they see a picture of Krishna embracing Radha, they think, yes, that's the same as what I feel for my girlfriend. Prabhupada was also very much afraid that if the devotees took prematurely to Radha Krishna affairs, they would become Prakriti Sahajas, those who take confidential matters too cheaply. He told about a man who said, "Whenever I hear the name Radha, I always think of a barber's wife whose name is Radha." Of course, generally speaking in the West, men don't name barbers, especially don't name their wives Radha. But in Vrindavan, everyone's got either Krishna's name or Radha's name. I also knew a barber whose wife was named Radha. We also had a cleaning lady who used to come and clean our apartment, who was also known as Radha. So that name is very common in Vrindavan. But we shouldn't be thinking of our cleaning lady or friend next door. Radha means this someone quite special, extremely special. In the preface to the Krishna book, Prabhupada begins, "In these Western countries, when someone sees a cover of a book like Krishna, he immediately asks, 'Who is Krishna? Who is that girl with Krishna?' But it's significant that Prabhupada then completes the preface by answering the question, 'Who is Krishna?' But he does not mention who Radha is." Another example of Prabhupada's reserved mood is that he instructed us not to show the feet of Radharani Didi, although Krishna's feet should be exposed. We can get further insight into Prabhupada's presentation by study of some of the lectures that he gave on the occasion of Radhastami. One lecture was on August the 30th, 1968, in Montreal. Prabhupada explained that Radha Krishna philosophy is a very great philosophy and is understood on the liberated platform, not on the conditional stage. He said, on the conditioned stage, we worship Lakshmi Narayan by following regulative principles. So in the Vidhi Marg, when you have no love for Krishna or God, you have to follow the regulative principles, and automatically there is practice. When practicing, just like you practice the mridanga playing, in the beginning it is not in order, but when you become well versed in the practice, the sound will become so nice. Just like we hear all these young boys and also young girls who take up mridanga lessons, and naturally they acquire this talent of playing very sweetly the mridanga. Similarly, when we are engaged in regular principles in the worship of Radha Krishna, that is called Vidhi Marg. And actually, when you are on the love platform, that is called Raga Marg. So without Vidhi Marg if anyone wants to learn the Raga Marg immediately, that is foolishness. That is foolishness. Nobody can pass MA examination without going through the regular principles or primary schools and colleges. So therefore, I do not indulge in the discussions of Radha and Krishna so easily. Rather, go on with the regular principles of the present, at the present moment. Gradually, as you become purified, as you become on the transcendental platform, you will understand what is Radha Krishna. So Prabhupada is very strict about not jumping ahead, but at the same time, he indicates that the path of Vaidhi Marg will lead upward, as certain as regular mridanga playing will lead to expert mridanga playing. Don't try to understand Radha Krishna very quickly. It is a very big subject. If we want to understand Radha Krishna very quickly, then there will be so many Prakriti Sahajas. In India, there are Prakriti Sahajas, just like Radha Krishna dancing. Radha Krishna has become a plaything. The painting of Radha and Krishna, Krishna kissing Radha, Radha's kissing, these are all nonsense. Radha Krishna philosophy has to be understood by the liberated person, not by the conditioned soul. So we shall await for the fortunate moment when we are liberated. Then we shall understand Radha Krishna, Pranaya, Bhaktir. In this 1968 lecture, Prabhupada then asked for a harmonium, and he began to sing Rupa Goswami's song, Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate, which we've already sung this morning. And Shruti Dharma Prabhu, after the Mangalarti, he also read a little bit about Prabhupada's introduction of this particular song composed by Srila Rupa Goswami. In Prabhupada's 1969 lecture on Radhastami, which he gave in London at Bury Place, he said, Radharani is the pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti. Prabhupada taught from the very beginning and always re-emphasized that just as we have a desire to love and have pleasure, so that desire exists in the Supreme Person, Krishna. But when he wants to desire, he doesn't desire pleasure from an ordinary person. He expands into the pleasure potency, and that is called Radharani. So actually, Radharani is not different from Krishna. As Prabhupada puts it in the introduction to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, without Radha, there is no meaning to Krishna. And without Krishna, there is no meaning to Radha. Because of this, the Vaishnava philosophy, first of all, pays obeisances to and worships the internal pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. Thus the Lord and His potency are always referred to as Radha Krishna. Just like the first time I was introduced to the word Radha was when I went along to the London Temple in 1969, beginning of August, and they just made a single, and they called themselves as a group the Radha Krishna Temple. That was the name of the group. And also Prabhupada instructed Shyamasundar that he should make a sign using the colors white and blue. The Radha Krishna Temple, then in brackets, London. Of course, this is long before the appearance of Radha Landanishwara. So Prabhupada was already introducing this idea of Radha. And if anybody asked him, well, who is that Radha? He'd say, well, she's eternally serving Krishna in devotion. In that 69 Radhastami lecture, Prabhupada began to sing the mantra, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavanishwari, Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. It's the first time we heard this beautiful prayer. He also mentioned that we should approach Radharani and then we can get Krishna's favor. If we approach Krishna through Radharani, through her mercy, then it becomes very easy. If Radharani recommended, this devotee is very nice. Then Krishna immediately accepts, however a fool I may be, because it is recommended by Radharani. Krishna accepts. Therefore in Vrindavan, you will find all the devotees. They are chanting more Radha's name than Krishna's. Wherever you go, you will find the devotees are addressing Jai Radhe. You will also still find in Vrindavan, they're glorifying Radharani. They are more interested in worshipping Radharani because however fallen I may be, if someone or another, somehow or another, I can please Radharani, then it's very easy to me or for me to understand Krishna. Another indication of Prabhupada's deep affection for Srimati Radharani was that he would always begin his lecture by singing Jai Radha Madhava. We don't find that other Gaudiya Vaishnava lines begin their lectures by singing this song as a regulative principle. But Prabhupada always did it, and sometimes he would fall into deep ecstasies and not be able to speak. We also know that Prabhupada's father prayed that he could please become a devotee of Srimati Radharani. Also, when Prabhupada was on the boat to America, he wrote a poem in which he said, "My dear brothers, you cannot get success in Krishna consciousness unless you worship Srimati Radharani." Another important point is that as Radharani worshipped Krishna in the mood of separation after Krishna left Vrindavan, so Lord Chaitanya was in the same mood. And Lord Chaitanya's demonstration of separation was taken up by the six Goswamis. Prabhupada indicates that this should also be taken up by all sincere and serious devotees in this line. There are a few examples of his saying that. Here is one from the 1969 Radhastami lecture. Prabhupada quoted, "Hey Radhi, Vraja Devika Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kuta. Where, Radharani, where are you? Where are your associates? Where are you, Nanda Suno, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna? Where are you all? They are searching after. They never said, 'I have seen Krishna dancing with the gopis. Last night I saw.' This is Sahaja. They take everything very cheap. They take Krishna very cheap and Radharani very cheap, as if they can see every night. No, the Goswamis don't teach us like that. They are searching after. So we have to follow the footprints of the Goswamis, how to search out Krishna and Radharani. We may do this in Vrindavan or within our heart. This process of devotional service is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Don't say that very easily we have seen Krishna or seen Radharani in Rasalila. No, not like that. Feel the separation. The more you feel separation from Krishna, you should understand that you are advancing." I remember one time also when Mr. George Harrison came to visit Srila Prabhupada here at the manor upstairs. This is in 1976. And he just made a recording. And the song was called "Krishna, Where Are You?" And it was sung by Lakshmi Shankar, the sister of the famous sitar musician, Ravi Shankar. And so he had written the words and he had also composed the music. And so when he played this to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, "Yes." He said, "This is the mood of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Krishna, where are you?" He said, "You continue writing songs like this and you will be able to influence so many people's understanding, real understanding of who is Krishna and who is Radharani." So Prabhupada very much approved of this particular mood, as long as it's following according to Rupa Nuga, following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and the other Goswamis. Prabhupada told us, "If you engage your tongue in the service of the Lord, he will reveal himself to you. Here I am. We should feel separation of Krishna just like Radharani, as Lord Chaitanya teaches, and engage our tongues in the service of the Lord. Then one day, when we are mature, we will see Krishna eye to eye. This same point is described in the Anchalila, chapter 14 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us that Radharani's emotions after seeing Uddhava exactly corresponded to those of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, in the purport, Prabhupada says that some theosophists declare, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such cultivation of separation is easy for him, but difficult for the living entity. And so, we can approach Krishna in any way we like. To nullify this idea, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated practically how one can achieve love of Krishna by adopting Srimati Radharani's mood in separation from Krishna. This is a quotation of Anchalila, chapter 14, text 14. Although these confidential matters are not to be cheaply taken up, yet such an esoteric doctrine as separation from Krishna in the mood of Radharani is something Prabhupada recommends. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented, "I found Krishna in Vrindavan, and now I have again lost him and come to Kurukshetra." Unless one is a very highly advanced devotee, he cannot understand these intricate feelings. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, however, has tried to explain this Divyon Mada as far as possible, and it is our duty simply to appreciate it as far as possible. Therefore, the author has made the following request. My dear readers, simply try to hear this description with faith and love. That will help you to understand transcendental ecstasy, and at last you will achieve love of God very easily. This is Anchalila, chapter 14, text 37, purport. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada also recommended to all devotees the mood of Radharani in separation. He says that the six Goswamis were in this mood, and so was Lord Chaitanya. He was in the role of Radharani, feeling separation of Krishna. Those who are in the disciplic succession of Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya should also feel the separation of Krishna, worshipping his transcendental form and discussing his transcendental teachings, his pastimes, his qualities, entourage, and association. The spiritual master should enrich the devotees to the highest devotional perfection. Feeling constant separation while engaged in the service of the Lord is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. From the Krishna book, chapter 34. Here are just two more short quotes that have been chosen because of Prabhupada's personal use of words in describing Radharani. This gives us another glimpse into the fact that although he didn't indulge in talking so much about Radharani, his feelings are very great within. One statement occurs in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where he is discussing the feelings of separation felt by the members of the Yadu dynasty for Krishna. The feelings of separation cannot be described, but it can simply be imagined by devotees only. After his separation from Vrindavan and the innocent rural cowherd boys, girls, ladies, and others, they all felt shock through their lives. And the separation of Radharani, the most beloved cowherd girl, is beyond expression. Once they met at Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse, and the feeling which was expressed by them is heart-rending. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 10th Chapter, verses 9 and 10, in the purport. A final quote is from Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Supreme Personality of Radharani in relationship to Krishna. This is spoken by Lord Chaitanya while dancing at the Ratha Yatra and speaking about Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna continued, "All the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, father, cowherd, boyfriends, and everything else, are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. Among the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. And the purport prophet says, Srimati Radharani is the center of all Vrindavan's activities. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the instrument of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan still chant Jai Radhi. From Krishna's own statement given herein, it appears that Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan and that Krishna is simply her decoration. Krishna is known as Madana Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid, but Srimati Radharani is the enchanter of Krishna. This is Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 13, text 150. So, we like to hear of Srimati Radharani from Srila Prabhupada. It is a safe and most expert way, because as Srila Prabhupada writes, the spiritual master is always considered one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani, or a manifested representative of Nityananda Prabhu. And this is a quotation from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 1, text 40. Jai. And as we just heard, Srimati Radharani is known as the Queen of Vrindavan. And I took also, there's a quote in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from the second canto, third chapter, 23rd text. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam's second canto, chapter 3, text 23. Once Lord Krishna considered within his heart, everyone says that I am complete bliss, full of all rasas. All the world derives pleasure from me. Is there anyone who can give me pleasure? One who has 100 times more qualities than me could give pleasure to my mind. One more qualified than me is impossible to find in the world. But in Radharani alone, I feel the presence of one who can give me pleasure. Although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids, although it is unequaled and unsurpassed, and although it gives pleasure to the three worlds, seeing Radharani gives pleasure to my eyes. The vibration of my transcendental flute attracts the three worlds, but my ears are enchanted by the words of Srimati Radharani. Although my body lends fragrance to the entire creation, the scent of Radharani's limbs captivates my mind and heart. Although the entire creation is full of different tastes because of me, I am charmed by the nectarian taste of the lips of Srimati Radharani. And although my touch is cooler than 10 million moons, I am refreshed by the touch of Srimati Radhika. Thus, although I am the source of happiness for the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. In this way, my affectionate feelings for Srimati Radharani may be understood. But on analysis, I find them contradictory. My eyes are fully satisfied when I look upon Srimati Radharani, but by looking upon me, she becomes even more advanced in satisfaction. The flute-like murmur of the bamboos rubbing against one another steals Radharani's consciousness, for she thinks it to be the sound of my flute, and she embraces a tamal tree, mistaking it for me. I have gotten the embrace of Sri Krishna, she thinks, so now my life is fulfilled. Thus she remains immersed in pleasing Krishna, taking the tree in her arms. When a favorable breeze carries to her the fragrance of my body, she is blinded by love and tries to fly into that breeze. When she tastes the betel chewed by me, she merges in an ocean of joy and forgets everything else. Even with hundreds of mouths, I could not express the transcendental pleasure she derives from my association. Seeing the luster of her complexion after our pastimes together, I forget my own identity and happiness. The sage Bharata has said that the mellows of lover and beloved are equal, but he does not know the mellows of my Vrindavan. The happiness I feel when meeting Radharani is 100 times greater than the happiness I get from meeting others. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 4, text 238 to 272 in the purport. So we're getting the idea, I hope, that Srimati Radhi is the supreme goddess. She is most always seen with Krishna. Most always. Introduced. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Sidram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shri Shri Goni Tai Ki Jai. Most always, because we just read that Krishna also makes himself scarce. Sometimes he disappears in the presence of the gopis. It is described that she is the chief associate and devotee of Lord Krishna and topmost of all goddesses. Her name means that she is the most excellent worshipper of Lord Krishna. The word Radha comes from the word Aradhana, to worship. However, she is also an expansion of the Lord's energy. Since she is also an extension of Krishna, she is the feminine aspect of God. Thus, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, God is both male and female. They are one, but Krishna expands into two, himself and Radharani, for the sake of divine loving pastimes. If they remain as one, then there is no relationship. There are no pastimes, and there can be no dynamic exchange of love. Actually, if we all remained merged or amalgamated into one single force or light, then there is no further need of anything else. There certainly would be no need for the material manifestation to provide the innumerable conditioned souls within the means to seek out the way to satisfy their senses, minds, emotions, desires for self-expression, intellectual pursuits, and on and on. In the Brihad Gautamiya Tantra, Radharani is described as follows. Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para. The transcendental goddess of Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is a central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. To explain further, Srimati Radharani is also the source of the other goddesses who are expansions of her. Just as Lord Krishna is the source of all other expansions and incarnations of God, Radharani is the source of all other expansions of the energies of God, the Shaktis, or other goddesses. Thus, Vishnu, Ram, even Shiva, are all expansions of the one supreme being. And similarly, Lakshmi, Sita, and even Durga are all expansions of this supreme feminine form of God, Radharani. It is explained that the beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are of three kinds, namely the goddesses of fortune, or Lakshmis, his queens, and the milkmaids of Raja, called the gopis. All of them proceed from Radharani. The Lakshmis are partial manifestations or plenary portions of Srimati Radharani, while the queens in Vaikuntha and in Dwarka are reflections of her image. The Vraja Devis or gopis are her expansions and assist in the increase of ras of the divine loving pastimes. Among them, there are many groups that have various sentiments and moods which help Lord Krishna taste the sweetness of the rasa dance and their pastimes. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 4, text 75 to 81. Among the gopis of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani and another gopi are considered chief. However, when we compare the gopis, it appears that Srimati Radharani is most important because her real feature expresses the highest ecstasy of love. The ecstasy of love cannot be experienced by the other gopis and cannot be compared to that of Srimati Radharani. This is from the Ujjvala Nilamani of Srila Rupa Goswami. Radharani has many names according to her qualities and characteristics. Some of the names that Radharani is known by include Govinda Anandini, she who gives pleasure to Govinda, Krishna, Govinda Mohini, she who mystifies Govinda, Govinda Sarvasa, the all-in-all of Lord Govinda, Shiramani Sarvakanta, the crown jewel of all the Lord's consorts, and Krishna Mayi, the one who sees Krishna both within and without. She is also called Radhika in the Puranas because her worship, Aradhana, of the Lord consists of fulfilling his desires. Aradhana is the root of the name Radharani, which indicates one who excels in worshipping the Lord. She is also called Sarva Lakshmi, the original source of all the goddesses of fortune. This also means that she is the supreme energy of Lord Krishna and represents the six opulences, which include fame, fortune, strength, wealth, knowledge, and detachment. She is also known as Sarva Kanti, which indicates that all beauty and luster rest in her body, and all the Lakshmis derive their beauty from her. It also means that all the desires of Lord Krishna rest in Srimati Radharani. As Lord Krishna enchants the world with his beauty and charm, Sri Radha enchants him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. From the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 4, text 82, 84, 87 to 96. Thus, the two are non-different, as the sunshine is non-different from the sun, or as the energy is non-different from the energetic or source of energy. In this way, without Radha, there is no meaning to Krishna, and without Krishna, there is no meaning to Radha. Because of this, in the Vaishnava tradition, we always pay respects first to the Lord's internal energy in the form of Radha, and then to the Lord. Thus, they are referred to as Radha Krishna, or in other names as Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, and so on. In this way, Radha and Krishna are one. But when Lord Krishna wants to enjoy, he manifests himself as Radharani. Otherwise, there is no energy in which Krishna can attain pleasure outside himself. To understand himself through the agency of Radha or the Ladini Shakti, the Lord manifests himself as Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Krishna, but with the super excellent emotions of Radharani's love toward Lord Krishna. This is because the Lord accepts the position and the emotions of a devotee in order to fully taste his own sweetness. It is also described that the potency of love of God is called Ladini, the Lord's pleasure potency. Whenever the Lord wants to enjoy pleasure, he exhibits his own spiritual potency known as Ladini, and the essence of that love is in the emotion called Bhava. The ultimate development of that emotion is Mahabhava, or Great Bhava. The ultimate development of that emotion is Mahabhava. Mahabhava is full of the pleasure potency, and it is an exhibition of the highest love for Krishna. Sri Radharani is the embodiment of that transcendental consciousness found in Mahabhava. Her mind, senses, and body are steeped in that high sort of love for Krishna. She is as spiritual as the Lord himself. In fact, being the personification of the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure-giving energy of the Lord, she is the only source of enjoyment for the Lord. This pleasure potency manifests spiritually as Radharani in a way that attracts even Lord Krishna. He takes no pleasure in anything material. The Lord could never enjoy anything that is less spiritual than himself. Therefore, Radha and Krishna are identical. Then she expands herself into different forms, such as Lalita, Vishakha, and her other confidential associates, that increase the mood of divine love. However, being the Lord's Ladini feature, she is also the ultimate source of all happiness for all the living beings. In other words, everything that gives pleasure and happiness within the spiritual or the material worlds is because of her and the energy that emanates from her. And this takes us back to this particular verse that's on the board today from the fourth chapter of Adi Lila. And I'd just like to read a few more texts which expand this particular text, where it says, Srimati Radharani is the embodiment of Mahabhava. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Lord Krishna. text number 70. Of these two gopis, Radharani and Chandravali, Srimati Radharani is superior in all respects. She is the embodiment of Mahabhava, and she surpasses all in good qualities. This text is verse 2 of the Ujjala Nilamali of Sri Rupa Goswami. Her mind, senses and body are steeped in love for Krishna. She is Krishna's own energy, and she helps him in his pastimes. And the purport Srila Prabhupada describes, Srimati Radharani is as fully spiritual as Krishna. No one should consider her to be material. She is definitely not like the conditioned souls, who have mental bodies, gross and subtle, covered by material senses. She is all spiritual, and both her body and mind are of the same spiritual embodiment. Because her body is spiritual, her senses are also spiritual. Thus her body, mind and senses fully shine in love of Krishna. She is a personified Ladini Shakti, the pleasure-giving energy of the Lord's internal potency, and therefore she is the only source of enjoyment for Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna cannot enjoy anything that is internally different from him. Therefore Radha and Sri Krishna are identical. The Sandini portion of Sri Krishna's internal potency has manifested the all-attractive form of Sri Krishna, and the same internal potency in the Ladini feature has presented Srimati Radharani, who is the attraction for the all-attractive. No one can match Srimati Radharani in the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rasa. This is a text from the Brahma Samhita. Now please listen to how Lord Krishna's consorts help him taste rasa, and how they help in his pastimes. The beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are of three kinds, the goddesses of fortune, the queens, and the milkmaids of Braja, who are the foremost of all. These consorts all proceed from Radhika. Just as the fountainhead, Lord Krishna, is the cause of all incarnations, so Sri Radha is the cause of all these consorts. The goddesses of fortune are partial manifestations of Srimati Radhika, and the queens are reflections of her image. The goddesses of fortune are her plenary portions, and they display the forms of Vaibhava Vilas. The queens are of the nature of her Vaibhava Prakash. The Vraja Devis have diverse bodily features. They are the expansions, are her expansions, and are the instruments for expanding rasa. Without many consorts, there is not much such exaltation in rasa. Therefore, there are many manifestations of Srimati Radharani to assist in the Lord's pastimes. Among them are various groups of consorts in Vraja, who have varieties of sentiments and mellows. They help Lord Krishna taste all the sweetness of the rasa dance and other pastimes. Purport. As already explained, Krishna and Radha are one in two. They are identical. Krishna expands himself in multi-incarnations and plenary portions like the Purushas. Similarly, Srimati Radharani expands herself in multi-forms as the goddesses of fortune, the queens, and the damsels of Braja. Such expansions from Srimati Radharani are all her plenary portions. All these womanly forms of Krishna are expansions corresponding to his plenary expansions of Vishnu forms. These expansions have been compared to reflected forms of the original form. There is no difference between the original and reflected forms. The female reflections of Krishna's pleasure potency are as good as Krishna himself. The plenary expansions of Krishna's personality are called Vaibhava Vilas and Vaibhava Prakash, and Radha's expansions are similarly described. The goddesses of fortune are Vaibhava Vilas, and the queens are Vaibhava Prakash of Radharani. The personal associates of Radharani, the damsels of Braja, are direct expansions of her body. As expansions of her personal form and transcendental disposition, they are agents of different reciprocations of love in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Under the supreme direction of Srimati Radharani, in the transcendental realm, enjoyment is fully realized in variety. The exuberance of transcendental mellow is increased by the association of a large number of personalities similar to Radharani, who are also known as gopis or sakis. The variety of innumerable mistresses is a source of relish for Sri Krishna, and therefore these expansions from Srimati Radharani are necessary for enhancing the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. Their transcendental exchanges of love are the super-excellent affairs of the pastimes in Vrindavan. By these expansions of Srimati Radharani's personal body, she helps Lord Krishna taste the rasa dance and similar other activities. Srimati Radharani, being the central petal of the rasa lila flower, is also known by the names found in the following verses. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda, and the crest jewel of all of his consorts. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Devi means resplendent and most beautiful, or else it means the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna. Krishnamayi means one who is within and without our Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Or she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Krishnamayi has two different imports. First, a person who always thinks of Krishna, both within and without, and who always remembers only Krishna, wherever he goes or whatever he sees, is called Krishnamayi. Also, since Krishna's personality is full of love, his loving potency, Radharani, being non-different from him, is called Krishnamayi. Her worship, Aradhana, consists of fulfilling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Puranas call her Radhika. The name Radha is derived from the root Aradhana, which means worship. The personality who excels all in worshipping Krishna may therefore be called Radhika, the greatest servitor. Truly, the personality of Godhead has been worshipped by her. Therefore, Lord Govinda, being pleased, has brought her to a lonely spot, leaving us all behind. Therefore, Radha is Parama Devata, the supreme goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. I have already explained the meaning of Sarva Lakshmi. Radha is the original source of the goddesses of fortune. Our Sarva Lakshmi indicates that she fully represents the six opulences of Krishna. Therefore, she is the supreme energy of Lord Krishna. The word Sarva Kanti indicates that all beauty and luster rest in her body. All the Lakshmis derive their beauty from her. Kanti may also mean all the desires of Lord Krishna. All the desires of Lord Krishna rest in Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radhika fulfills all the desires of Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of Sarva Kanti. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is a full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are non-different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. They are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are non-different. Thus, Radha and Lord Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. Jai Srimati Radhika Ki Jai. So here we can also speak about the different transcendental qualities. Srimati Radharani possesses 25 wonderful qualities. One, she is sweetness personified. Two, she is a fresh young girl. Three, her eyes are always moving. Four, she is always brightly smiling. Five, she possesses all auspicious marks on her body. Six, she can agitate Krishna by the flavor of her person. Seven, she is expert in the art of singing. Eight, She can speak very nicely and sweetly. 9. She is expert in presenting feminine attractions. 10. She is modest and gentle. 11. She is always very merciful. 12. She is transcendentally cunning. 13. She knows how to dress nicely. 14. She is always shy. 15. She is always respectful. 16. She is always patient. 17. She is very grave. 18. She is enjoyed by Krishna. 19. She is situated on the highest devotional platform. 20. She is the abode of love of the residents of Gokula. 21. She can give shelter to all kinds of devotees. 22. She is always affectionate to superiors and inferiors. 23. She is always obliged by the dealings of her associates. 24. She is the greatest amongst Krishna's girlfriends. And 25. She always keeps Krishna under her control. This is from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 14. And besides those 25 transcendental qualities that she possesses, she also is a good cook. And I tried to do some research. As you may have gathered, I like to do research. So I wanted to find somewhere the types of foodstuffs that Radharani likes to prepare. So I found this quote. We find this verse from Anchalila. This is from chapter 18, text 106, describing the wonderful preparations of Sri Radha made for Krishna. So if you're a good cook, maybe you should listen with attention. At home, Srimati Radharani had made various types of sweetmeats from milk and sugar, such as Ganga Jal, Amrita Keli, Payus Granthi, Karpura Keli, Sarapuri, Amrita, Padmachini, and Kanda Kshirasara Vriksha. She had then brought them all for Krishna. The Karpura Keli Radharani made, being small pies or tarts, are described in the Govinda Lilamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And this is from verse 42. Carefully prepare the soft, nectar-defeating tarts called Karpura Keli and Amrita Keli. When Krishna samples them, he becomes invigorated. But within the three worlds, only you know how to make such delicious pastries. Meaning Radharani. She's the only one who has that special touch. The Rasa Tarangini Tika, chapter 19, text 1551, gives the recipes for preparing these sweets. Karpura Keli. First, yogurt is added to boiling milk to make a curd. Then rice powder, yogurt, black pepper, sugar, ground coconut, jatipala, a fragrant spice. Anybody know what that is, jatipala? No one's heard of that. No? Cardamom, cloves, and bananas are mixed into a paste. Next, mung dal is ground into powder, rolled in the above-mentioned ingredients, and fried in ghee, adding honey and camphor. As we heard from Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada said that Radharani, her smile is just like the taste of camphor. And her body also smells of camphor too. So she likes to also put camphor as one of the ingredients to remind Krishna of her. Although these are the directions, no one can prepare such recipes like Radha, for with her unique touch, they become divine. So there's also another list. There's 64 qualities. Is it okay? I can go on a little bit longer with this. I hope you're not getting bored with all this. But Srimati Radharani possesses 64 transcendental arts. So, in the Brahma Samhita, the prayers of Lord Brahma, text 37, it is stated, Ananda Chinmaya Rasarati Pavita Vis Tabirya Eva Nija Rupataya Kalabhi Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilatma Bhuto Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidants, Sakis, embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever-blissful spiritual rasa. So, we'll see how long this takes, but we hope to finish within the prescribed time. 1. Gita, the art of singing. 2. Vadya, the art of playing on musical instruments. 3. Nritya, the art of dancing. 4. Natya, art of theatricals. 5. Alekya, art of painting. 6. Vaishala Kajaya, art of painting the face and body with colored unguents and cosmetics. 7. Tandula Kusama Bali Vikara, art of preparing offerings from rice and flowers. 8. Pushpastarana, art of making a covering of flowers for a bed. 9. Dasana Vasangan Raga, art of applying preparations for cleansing the teeth, cloths, and painting the body. 10. Mani Bhumika Karma, art of making the groundwork of jewels. 11. Savya Rachana, art of covering the bed. 12. Udaka Vadya, art of playing on music in water. 13. Udaka Ghata, art of splashing with water. Everyone likes to splash in the water, so Radharani, of course, is no exception. 14. Chitra Yoga, art of practically applying an admixture of colors. 15. Malya Gratana Vikalpa, art of designing a preparation of wreaths. 16. Sekarapida Yojana, art of practically setting the coronet on the head. 17. Nepatya Yoga, art of practically dressing in the tiring room. 18. Karnapatra Bhanga, art of decorating the tragus of the ear, which means the outside part of the ear. 19. Sugandha Yukti, art of practical application of aromatics. 20. Bhusana Yojana, art of applying or settling ornaments. 21. Ayendra Jala, art of jugglery. 22. Kochumara, art of kochumara, a kind of art. 23. Hasta Lagava, art of sleight of hand. 24. Chitra Sakapupa Bhaksya Vikara Kriya, art of preparing varieties of salad, bread, cake, and delicious food. 25. Panaka Rasa Ragasava Yojana, art of practically preparing palatable drinks and tinging drafts with red color. 26. Suchi Vaya Karma, art of needleworks and weaving. 27. Sutra Krida, art of playing with thread. 28. Vina Damuraka Vadya, art of playing on lute and small X-shaped drum. 29. Prahelika, art of making and solving riddles. 29a. Pratimala, art of caping or reciting verse for verse as a trial for memory or skill. 30. Durvachaka Yoga, art of practicing languages difficult to be answered by others. 31. Pushtaka Vachana, art of reciting books. 32. Nati Kakayaika Darshani, art of enacting short plays and anecdotes. 33. Kavya Samasya Purana, art of solving enigmatic verses. 34. Patika Vatrabana Vikalpa, art of designing preparations of shield, cane, and arrows. 35. Tarku Karma, art of spinning by spindle. 36, Takshana, art of carpentry. 37, Vastu Vidya, art of engineering. 38, Ropya Ratna Pariksha, art of testing silver and jewels. 39, Dhatuvada, art of metallurgy. 40, Mani Raga Jnana, art of tinging jewels. 41, Akara Jnana, art of mineralogy. 42, Vriksharur Veda Yoga, art of practicing medicine or medical treatment by herbs. 43, Mes Kukuta Lavaka Yudavidi, art of knowing the mode of fighting of lambs, cockerels, and birds. 44, Sukha Sarika Prapalana, art of maintaining or knowing conversation between male and female cockatoos. So actually understanding the language of birds, basically. So she was a bird whisperer. 45, Utsadana, art of healing or cleaning a person with perfumes. 46, Kesha Marjana Kosala, art of combing the hair. 47, Akshara Mustika Katana, art of talking with letters and fingers. Signing, that's what it sounds like. She could sign. 48, Mlachita Kutarka Vikalpa, art of fabricating barbecues. Oh, sorry, art of fabricating... Not barbecues, that was barbarous. Barbarous or foreign sophistry. But I suppose a barbecue is a form of barbarous sophistry. 49. Desa Basa Jnana, art of knowing provincial dialects. Number 50. Pushpa Sakatika Nirmita Jnana, art of knowing prediction by heavenly voice or knowing preparation of toy carts by flowers. 51, Yantra Matrika, art of mechanics. 52, Dharana Matrika, art of the use of amulets. 53, Samvacha, art of conversation. 54, Manasi Kavya Kriya, art of composing verse mentally. 55, Kriya Vikalpa, art of designing a literary work or a medical remedy. 56, Chalitaka Yoga, art of practicing as a builder of shrines called after him. 57, Abhidhana Kosa Chando Jnana, art of the use of lexicography and meters. 58, Vastra Gopana, art of concealment of cloths. 59, Dyuta Vishesha, art of knowing specific gambling. 60, Akarsha Krida, art of playing with dice or magnet. 61, Balaka Kridanaka, art of using children's toys. 62, Vinayika Vidya, art of enforcing discipline. 63, Vijayika Vidya, art of gaining victory. And 64, Vitaliki Vidya, the art of awakening with music at dawn. Chai. So, how do you follow? So much information is there. and I wasn't sure how long it was going to take, so I just happened to photocopy backup. And this is amazing, beautiful prayers composed by Rupa Goswami, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. And because I wasn't sure how long this would take, I also copied out Radharani's family tree, and she had an older brother. You know what his name is? Shridam. Yeah, and she had a younger sister, Ananga Manjari. That was younger sister. And her father, Vrishabhanu, and her mother, Kirtita, also known as Ratnagarbha. And she had uncles, Banu, Subanu, and Ratnabahu, and aunts, Banu Mudra, wife of Kusa. And on her mother's, these were on her father's side. On her mother's side, there was uncles Bhadra Kirti, Maha Kirti, and Kirti Chandra. And aunts on her mother's side, Kirti Mati, wife of Kasa, Dataki, Datri, Gauri, Menaka, and Sasti. And she also had a pair of grandparents on her father's side. The grandfather was Mahibani, grandmother Sukada. And on her mother's side, grandfather's name was Indu, and her grandmother Mukara. And one great uncle called Karala. So maybe another time we can read some of these beautiful stotras and stavas composed, but I think now, Gadadhar Prabhu, should we finish now? You're ready for... So now we have Snan Yatra of Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. Shri Radhastami Mahamahotsava Ki Jai. Jai Shri Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Prabhanandi Hari. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gondi Tan Ki Jai.